Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. With Jake Gutierrez, thanks a lot for joining us. It is Friday, March 2nd, 2020. I don't know what year it is. All that matters is we're here for you on a Friday, and this week is over. Almost.
Yes, sir.
Almost. It has been a long week. It has been a long, long week. But it was a great day yesterday. I had a gold star day, man. I feel like we had a good show, a couple of good interviews with Herm Edwards and Konzo Martin was really good. The boys enjoyed that. I played the podcast for them last night, and they enjoyed listening to Konzo Martin's comments. I mean, first, because we're going down to the game Saturday, so they wanted an update on whether or not they're going to see Michael Porter Jr. play. After I've told them, like, before each of the last couple of years, oh, he might play.
No, he's not.
Just come on. Don't you want to be watching if he does play?
I'll watch the game, but he's not going to play. He keeps saying that.
Just sit down with your father and watch the damn game. All right? How's that sound? So he might play on Saturday.
Well, you're just saying that.
Well, just listen to what Konzo Martin says, then. If you don't believe your dad, believe Coach Martin. So we listen to that.
Okay.
Oh, but then he talks about seeing Black Panther twice and then talks about Bane being his favorite.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
And that's what got them fired up about the interview. Much like Jake, so. They were very excited, so then that led to about an hour of Bane impressions around the house. And we did take Steve St. John Sr. to the movies last night to see Death Wish with Bruce Willis. By the way, someone forgot to tell me that Eli Roth directs that. So,
oh yeah, I was about to say that yesterday.
He made it the most violent Death Wish possible.
Yes,
and the most graphic.
Absolutely.
So you didn't. So like, if you didn't know it was an Eli Roth movie, then you see the first couple of, whoa.
He might have directed one. There's very few times I've almost walked out of movie theaters.
Oh really?
The movie Hostel,
dude. That's exactly what I said last night because I told Richie Phil because we were talking about Eli Roth movies. I didn't know. And so I said one time and I was alone and it was like 1 a.m.
Dude,
and it was coming on.
No.
I said, I've heard some people talk about that.
No.
And so I started watching it. And let me say, so don't you ever.
Don't.
No,
don't
I've,
you
I've
ever. Don't you
that.
Ever, never.
No.
Never, ever.
Didn't
ever.
Tarantino
ever.
Have to do with that movie?
Never,
no.
Huh?
Inglourious Basterds, Eli Roth helped Tarantino with Glorious Bastards.
I thought he did Hostel too.
No.
But
Eli Roth, I mean, that will.
But so I sit down to watch.
He might have had a
Wasn't Jay Hernandez
production.
In that?
Yep. Yeah.
And so I sit down to watch that. And I go, oh, this is an interesting premise. And it's hard for me once I've invested like at least a half an hour in a movie. Let me see this through. I was so disturbed and upset and unsure about the world around me by the time that damn movie was over. Should I just stay up? Should I go to sleep? Is it okay to go to sleep? Right?
It's like you want to wash yourself with bleach.
Right. Well, but then you kept thinking about it, it wasn't to that extent.
Right.
Because that was such a disturbing premise. it was so funny you said that was the example I gave.
Right.
I said, so, I was watching, well, let's watch that. But I go, no, let's not. You guys, go ahead. No. I've seen it once,
right.
And that's good for me. For the rest of my
life. I meant to bring
years.
That up when we were discussing that yesterday. It's
all right,
like,
right.
Eli Roth, it's like, you know.
So the point is, when the scenes when Bruce Willis is gaining revenge on different whatever else.
Oh, yeah.
He gets revenge.
You can tell just by the previews that it's going
to
be.
Well, right.
But it's a different, he's a different
it's
level.
It's a different.
He's like Inglourious Basterds, him and Tarantino kind of co-directed. And it's like when Tarantino's pulling you back down to earth, you know that.
Right, no, it was.
Hey, we need to tone this down a little bit.
But, and so the whole time, and there was like, I don't know, 15 people in the movie theater. And they were all like different versions of my dad. And but all of them had gone like by themselves, you know, like older guy that saw Charles Bronson several decades ago, wants to go see this, but no one will go with him. But here's my dad with us. And I mean, every time Bruce Willis did something horrible to somebody, there would either be a, like, that's right, or some type of, you know, confirmation, some type of verbal confirmation from my dad that he approved what Bruce Willis just did to that person, you know? I keep looking over. You know, yeah, everyone can hear you in here. Whatever, you know. Bruce Willis would do something unique to somebody. Settle down, Pops. So we had to be, you know what, point is, yeah, it's not a feel-good movie.
No, it's a St. John Men outing.
Right, you know, made my dad happy. That's all that matters.
It's the most important, right?
All right, we're having popcorn, we're having ices, we're having all kinds of good stuff. You guys saw the text message that I sent on Phil's behalf to my dad, and so that had a good debate last night at the movie theater over who was paying for concessions and why. And so we had a good time last night. So, you know what? Just spend time with loved ones. If it happens to be while Bruce Willis is killing people on screen, then that's...
So be it.
That's what brings you together. I'm not going to judge
so
you.
So be it. Everybody, you know, to each their own.
Oh, boy. Then I go home, Susie goes, is it good? Should I go? I mean, should we go? I go, nah, I don't think so. I think you probably want to tap out of this one. I think we'll go ahead and just, you know. Even though I was... a lot more mortified at 50 Shades Freed. No. We're going to pass on the going to see Death Wish a second time. So, but there it is. It was a good night last night, and it's going to be a great weekend, hopefully, of sports. I can't wait. There is so much going on this weekend. Oh, it's fantastic. And it starts with college basketball. Ooh, boy. So in the Big 12 tomorrow, everything starts at 11 a.m., West Virginia at Texas. That's a big game, and that should be an entertaining game because if you remember, all the bracketologies has, they have Texas clinging to a spot in the NCAA tournament. And this would, don't you guys feel like this would certainly punch their ticket if they could beat West Virginia tomorrow?
I would think so.
All Nate does is brag about quadrant one victories. You know, it's quadrant one this. And then yesterday after the show, it was his birthday. And he was, you know, running around the studio, running around the halls of Union Broadcasting, saying, hey, look at quadrant one down here. Like, well, it has nothing to do with college basketball. It's your birthday, but, you know, watch your mouth when you talk
to
people.
I'm a bigger quadrant two guy.
Well, I don't know. I like quadrant three, and so you ask me what that is, and we'll have to talk off air. But West Virginia at Texas, and so that should be a very entertaining game at 11 a.m. Then that takes you right to 1 o'clock. You know what? And by the way, thank you. Thank you for staggering these. All these games are staggered so we can try to focus on all of them. At 1 o'clock, Baylor at Kansas State. Do I need to tell you how important that game is for both parties?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Anyone got a feel for that one yet?
I'll take the Cats.
Yeah, you will. You like them?
Kansas State.
Baylor's 8-9 in the conference. K-State is 9-8. We're talking about seeding, people.
Baylor.
Then at 3 o'clock, so you got 11, you got 1. Then at 3 o'clock, Kansas at Oklahoma State. I believe Nate has picked OSU.
Oklahoma State.
To win this one. I'm not saying you want them to, but that's...
No, I don't want them to, of course. But they usually win against Kansas and Stillwater, and KU's already, you know, done everything they need to do in the Big 12, so...
Because it's garbage.
Well,
wow. I don't think it's garbage, but it'd be weird if Mike Gundy was there and said that, sort of screaming that at people.
Yeah.
But maybe there's like a bad call or something. Gundy's at courtside and starts screaming at the officials.
Because it's garbage. Fat.
Hollywood Higgins going to be up there? You know, he's on the crew.
I don't know. I don't know who's on. I don't think they've announced the refs yet.
Is it weird? Like every time he makes a call now, he goes, woo!
Yeah.
Like Ric Flair.
I like it. You know, just
I think it's too much, but you know.
Nah, a little personality in the
right.
game.
Well, to each their own, I guess. And then, so then you see, and this, all the games are good tomorrow. And so then TCU at Texas Tech, TCU's red hot, and Texas Tech is not.
What, they lost four in a row?
But the game's in Lubbock. But I don't know. I mean, I think I give TCU a really good shot of winning that game. And by the way, tonight, if you want to get your fix, what looks to be, well, I will say, if you are looking, if you let me see, say you coach some kids,
yeah,
and you want to sit them down and say, kids, this is what good defensive basketball is all about. Don't watch this game tonight. If you want to really talk about defensive fundamentals and getting after it on the defensive end, I'm going to say watch a different game than Iowa State at Oklahoma. That's just me.
Well,
I don't feel like defense will be like a big showcase here.
It's,
I don't feel like it'll be, you know, 25-20 at the half.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that.
That's just my guess.
Yeah.
You know? It's, I mean, I'm not saying it won't be entertaining, but it's just, you know, this isn't going to be a knocking down, drag him out defensive struggle where, boy, look at this. Locked down defensively on both ends. No. Do you think Iowa State has any chance to win in Norman?
Yeah, sure, the way Oklahoma's playing right now.
Yeah, well.
I won't pick them, but yeah, they got a shot.
Well, we want you to pick them. And so that's your Big 12 schedule. And so the games that we're really focused on are staggered, and so you can focus on all of them. And then, so K-State plays at 1, Kansas plays at 3, and then Missouri doesn't play until 5 o'clock, and I'll be in Columbia for Arkansas at Missouri. Again, a gigantic game for both teams.
You're going to patronize the people in Columbia while you're there?
I don't know. I won't. Yeah, you know what? I will, actually.
You should.
It just it depends. We might not be able to roll into town right until before game time because one of my sons has to work.
I think throughout my career, I always did appreciate and I patronize all the people there in Columbia.
Well, it's going to be wild. I don't know. I wonder what's going to happen. You heard Conzo Martin yesterday say if practice went well yesterday, if practice goes well today, and then the shoot around and everything, then there's a strong possibility that Michael Porter Jr. could play tomorrow.
Yeah.
That was from the mouth of Conzo Martin. And so we'll see. But whether he plays or not, everyone feels like Mizzou's in the tournament right now.
They got Michael Porter Jr.
They do have him.
Michael Porter. I'm getting tickets.
I have tickets. But I think most people feel like they're in, and they could still be in if they lost this game and didn't do anything in the SEC tournament, but it would make for a nervous Selection Sunday. But if they win this game, they're absolutely positively in, and that's it. And then all they're doing is playing for seeding in the SEC tournament. But what did Conzo Martin say yesterday? Oh, we're past that. We're
just playing for seeding now.
What the hell's wrong with you? I think that's what he wanted to say when I asked him. Has your team done enough to get in the NCAA tournament? Oh, we're past that. What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. Dummy.
That's what he wanted to say. He just didn't say what the hell is wrong with you part.
No, he's too too classy for that.
What the hell is wrong with you, Steven?
What's wrong with you, dummy?
Yeah, you idiot. So. But that's 5 o'clock. And the other games of note in the SEC, Kentucky and Florida, that's an 11 o'clock game. Well, guess what? They're all games of note because everyone's tied for everything in the SEC.
Everybody's playing for that double bye.
Everyone's playing for everything. Hell, there's a tie atop the conference between Auburn and Tennessee, so everything's up in the air.
And both of those teams play at home, should be favorites in their games. So I wonder who has the tiebreaker to be the number one seed.
Well, here's the deal, though, about the SEC, and we should learn this about college basketball. They're both at home, and they're both favored, so that means one of them's going to lose for sure.
That's a good point.
Someone's getting upset. Something's happening because it's too simple for them to both win.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Someone's going to fall apart, and so we'll see because Auburn hosts South Carolina and Tennessee hosts Georgia, and we will see what happens with those two games. But again, the Arkansas-Mizzou games at 5 o'clock. We've got Sporting Kansas City and their opener we're going to talk about on Sunday. Sunday will be fun day. That's going to be Sunday night with Nate Bucati on the call right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got a huge heavyweight title fight that I'm so beside myself excited for because Deontay Wilder, the WBC heavyweight champion, but he's not recognized as the best heavyweight in the world. That goes to Anthony Joshua in England. But Deontay Wilder's fighting by far his best opponent in Luis Ortiz, King Kong. They're fighting on Saturday night. And then Anthony Joshua is fighting Joseph Parker the following Saturday. And the winners will meet. And you'll finally have a true, undisputed, recognized heavyweight champ. But I want it to be Deontay Wilder, the bronze bomber from Alabama, former bronze medalist in the Olympics. But it's going to be a fantastic fight. Just an unbelievable slugfest. And so if you get a chance to watch that, that is tomorrow night. That's going to be on Showtime. A battle of unbeaten heavyweights for the WBC Heavyweight Championship. And you know, you've watched Deontay Wilder enough, Jake. Yeah, I think you watched him a couple times, Nate. There's not a bad fight with him.
Just got to keep him away from the motorcycle.
Well.
Or the garden, I mean, sorry.
Mm-hmm. He had an injury that was clearly from him wrecking his motorcycle. What did he say? What did he tell the...
He said he hurt himself gardening.
Right. Like all this road rash and all this skin was off of him. They go, yeah.
That can happen.
So were you affected by this injury? No, man, I did that gardening.
How'd you do that? Gardening. I was out in the garden.
Right. So that had nothing to do with the motorcycle. No. And like Jake calls you, what kind of gardening was he doing? Like, I don't know, but I'm not doing it.
He was gardening very aggressively.
Right.
I'm gonna pass on that, whatever he's doing.
The mean tulip.
Yeah, don't do that. You know, did he have a hoe out there or what?
Excuse
me. Hold on. None of your business.
All right, well, that too far. We'll take a break. Buster Olney, 7 o'clock. Danny Klingscale from Surprise, Arizona at 7:30. Gary Lezak from Lake Tahoe to mock us. Then the Border Patrol fast break. Mike McFarland makes his triumphant return to the Border Patrol. And then a gentleman by the name of Tony Miola will talk about Sporting Kansas City at 9:05. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Who likes documentaries here? Raise your hand. Who likes music? Right. So, who likes me to be happy?
Me.
He didn't raise his hand.
I raised my hands to the first two questions, whatever. But not to the third one.
I think he intentionally wants you not to be happy.
Yep.
So, and HBO makes really good documentaries, right?
Yeah, they're fantastic.
So
fantastic.
If I could have HBO do a documentary on any musician or musical act or singer in the history of the world, who would I want them
Elvis.
To do? Yeah. 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 That's right.
I mean, that's...
Thank you. Thank you very much. Elvis is now the subject of a forthcoming HBO documentary, Elvis Presley, The Searcher.
Uh-oh.
Set to air Saturday, April 14th. This three-hour, two-film presentation focuses on the musical icon, taking the audience on a comprehensive creative journey from his childhood through the final 1976 Jungle Room recording sessions. Oh boy. It's a Saturday? Okay, I'll be back in shape to come to work on Monday. I was gonna say if it's like on a weekend, I'd have to take the next day off just to recover. Oh, that's fantastic. And see, I've seen everything about Elvis ever, like a million times. But they say, like, even for the most diehard Elvis fan, there's stuff that you haven't seen, like stuff from the Jungle Room recording sessions and stuff like that. So geek out. I can't walk out. Why is Daddy wearing a scarf and sunglasses? Leave him alone, honey. He's playing make-believe. He's pretending. Why can't you see? Why does he keep karate kicking everything? What you doing to me when you don't believe a word I say. Oh, that's like the same week that Jack White comes to town. People, we can't go life is good. A lot of things look forward to. You know how long it's been since I've been waiting to go to a Mizzou basketball game where like NCAA tournament implications were riding on it and it was important? Been a while.
Probably since the Big 12, huh?
Well, there were Frank Haith in the SEC. I mean, they had chances. You know, there were at least games that.
But I mean, last time you went and.
Well, yeah. No, I went to some games there where it was. The first year, probably the SEC. You know, because they made it after they left the Big 12. They made it 1 year and lost to Larry Eustace in Colorado State in the first round of the tournament, and it was horrible. See, now we're talking about Alex Oriaki at that point.
Oof.
Right. It's been a while since I said that name. Yeah. So we're very excited. I'm very excited. It's been a long time since you've had a chance to see Kansas win a conference championship, so I know that's...
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
What?
Long time coming.
Mm-hmm. Sarcasm.
Are you excited?
I'm extremely excited.
Are you excited about the Big 12 tournament?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just love the event. You know, I'm kind of in the mode where, you know, we talked with DeCourcy the other day that I think it would be better for KU to lose on the first or second day than to go all the way to the championship.
So we're at this thing again. You want them to lose on the first or second day because it's better for the program.
I think it'd be better for their chances in the NCAA tournament.
So will you be disappointed if they keep winning in the Big 12 tournament?
No, I'll ride it, you know. I'll let it ride. Yeah. Right. I'm giving you all kinds of stuff this morning, Jake. I'm feeling good.
Jake?
Hello.
Will you hope that they lose?
I won't hope they will lose. I mean, they'll flame out, though.
Now, I said
I'm not hoping for it.
I said that going into last year's Big 12 tournament.
And you got what you wanted.
And Kansas lost to TCU.
TCU, yeah.
And as I was walking out of the arena, I got accosted by a fan, a KU fan, who said it was my fault.
You know the person?
And,
was this?
And it was funny because he like shouted out from like one section over. He's like, hey, Bucati,
it's your fault.
He just goes, you happy? You happy?
Were you?
And I was like, yeah, I'm fine, man.
Yeah.
You know, this is not like that loss to TCU in the Big 12 tournament last year didn't bother me for like a second. I mean, not even for
a second.
No. No. They got the prize that I was most concerned about. So whatever, to be honest with you, whatever happens the rest of this year will not bother me.
Whatever it takes now, to get one seed, right?
I suppose the only thing that could happen...
They could lose the next two games.
Come on.
The only thing that could happen that would really hurt me...
What?
Would be if they were a one seed and somehow lost to the 16 to the first team to ever do it. That's about the only thing that would make me go,
That's the worst.
But...
Oh, if they became the first one seed?
Yeah,
that would bother me big time.
I'm shocked that you're just bringing this up.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of the only thing.
Taking
like,
a chance at jinxing everything.
Everything that Kansas does the rest of this year is gravy. Like they got the prize that I cared about the most.
What if they were a 2 and they lost to a 15? That wouldn't bother you for a second?
Nah.
That bothered me a little bit, but not much.
What if they lost to Wichita State again?
Okay, you got that. They got me. All right. That bothered me.
What if they became the Kings of Kansas?
But I will say this. Wichita State's really good.
But I mean, would you be furious if they lost to Wichita State again?
Furious is too strong of a word.
In the Elite Eight?
That would hurt.
And then Greg Marshall, you know, said, well, Kansas didn't come out with their best. They were a little tardy.
A little tardy
showing up to this game.
They were tardy to the deal.
Tardy. That little smart ass on the radio in there, Nate Bucati, that doesn't like Wichita.
Have you like officially requested or tried to reach out to KU to play this time?
I think you missed the first question.
Yeah,
you're a little tardy to the deal. I'm not going to answer that question
again.
You're
a little tardy to the deal.
Yep. I know why you like to play that.
Because of
the way... So we can make him sound like an ass.
You're a little tardy to the deal.
I don't think it's anything that we have against you. I think we.
Are you sure?
I think you guys like to get me wound up a little bit. You like to get me mad. You know?
Here's the deal. Do you see me playing it? Do you see me telling him he can't wait? We bring up Wichita State, and he.
I think both of you guys can't wait to play it.
I don't have to push him in that direction at all.
No, I know you don't.
If you say anything,
you're a little tardy to the deal. I'm not.
If you say anything that begins with W, and he thinks you're going to say Wichita State, if we're talking about one day I went to Whataburger.
Did you say
you're a little tardy to the deal? I'm not going to answer that question again.
If he says anything like about Marshall University, Greg Marshall.
I'm a little tardy to the deal. I'm not going to answer that question again.
Look, it's Todd. So,
Yeah, that would bother me a little bit. I just mean from like an accomplishment standpoint.
What if they lost to Missouri in the tournament?
I mean, I'd have to hear it, you know, from a lot of Missouri fans.
But would it bother you?
Yeah, that would bother me.
Privately, would you be happy for Missouri?
No, not really.
Would you be happy for me as a friend?
Yeah, okay. I would. I would be all happy right, for you as a friend.
I think that's maybe where I draw the line.
Wouldn't be happy.
You got no line.
I would be no. I would not.
You'd
be
happy for me.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd be you would give me a congratulatory phone call.
Nope.
Yeah, you would.
I'd MFU phone call.
You'd say, you know what? I'm not happy for you, but I'm happy for the boys. You'd be happy for Phil.
You know, I would. I'd be happy for Philip.
You know,
yeah. Not you though.
Right? No, I don't
care about you.
I agree with that. What if you lost to K-State at the Big 12 tournament? Would that bother you?
No.
Like more than like losing to somebody else?
No, as long as they won the play hard chart.
Man. That wouldn't bother the amount of
no, it wouldn't bother me.
Crap
no.
You would get on Twitter and everything else.
I don't know. Do you really I don't feel like
play hard would kick their butt again.
I don't feel like that it's a win in a conference tournament, you know? Like I don't feel like
in the Big 12 title game.
I don't know. Not really.
All right.
That's friend for show over.
I ask you that because I'm trying to figure you out.
Look,
I don't know
what
upsets
to the,
you.
If KU gets to the final game on Saturday, then I want them to win it. Because the thing I'm more concerned about is the minutes, you know, the wear and tear. You know, Devontae Graham playing 40 minutes a game. I don't want him to do that for three straight games.
He should play 40 minutes every game.
So I would rather, you know, them lose in that first game or the semifinal. And then not play in the final. Have that Saturday off.
So you won't care at all if they lose to Oklahoma State tomorrow. That won't even register.
I hope they win because of the number one seed thing, you know. I think it would kind of wrap up the number one seed no matter what they did in the Big 12 tournament if they win. So I'd like to see them win.
The game's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake, will you be upset if they lose or just take this laissez-faire attitude a la Nate Buchanan?
I'm right with Nate. Laissez-faire. I don't care. They got the.
When will you start caring? We care about the Big 12 tournament.
You know, here's where I'll care until the point where they're out of the one seed line. So if they lost two games in a row and knocked them off the one seed line, then that's when I care.
So if they lose tomorrow and then you really want them to win their first game of the Big 12 tournament.
Yes, absolutely.
And once you get past that, then okay, all right.
I just don't want back to back losses.
Right. Right.
So if they have to win against Oklahoma State and then lose the first round of the Big 12 tournament, okay. Or if they lose against Oklahoma State, then I think it's necessary for them to lock it up. I don't want to walk into Selection Sunday, you know, be like, oh, are they going to be a one or a two? I mean, I still want to be on that bubble.
Oh, this is terrible. Isn't
I know,
it?
Right? No, I just don't want to be there.
Feeling.
Stressful. Stressful.
How do you deal with it? I mean,
it's tough. A lot of tums.
Know? Right.
A lot of tums, huh?
Some Imodium.
Pepto.
Yeah.
Selection Sunday brought to you by Xanax. Back after this on WHB. Why do you play the song when you know I just want to listen to it and not do the show?
I try to play good music on Friday. It's good music.
When's the last time you watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Not recently enough.
It was on. It was on cable the other night, but I couldn't watch it. Because if I sit down and watch that, I don't want to stop.
Right.
You know? Makes me want to buy tickets to Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
That's when Sean Penn became a star. You know, you're like this show's Mr. Hand, Jake.
Isn't this our time, Mr. Hand?
Right.
Huh.
Sunday will be fun day.
Speaking of hands.
It's quick and easy, and your car gets a thorough hand job.
That's right.
Sorry to interrupt.
There's that nothing is wrong right. That. Nate Buchanan, give us the rundown on what will happen when the sun is down on Sunday for the season opener for Sporting Kansas City.
Sporting KC will be taking on New York City FC, the team that finished in second place in the Eastern Conference last year. So these are two really good, aggressive teams going toe-to-toe as we opened the 2018 MLS campaign. And the game will kick at around 6:30. We will have the game right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. As we'll start with pregame coverage at 6 o'clock with myself, Matt Lawrence, and El Jefe, Carter Augustine, on the broadcast. And I'm heading out to sporting training, and they're kind of having a media day today. So I'm going to, you know, do a couple of interviews that we'll get ready for the pregame show on Sunday as well. And I got you guys your anthem jackets. The all-black anthem jackets that you're a fan of, Steven?
Yes.
I think those obviously will be on display on Sunday as well.
That will be debuted next week here on the Border Patrol and on stage at the Big 12 tournament.
All right.
See?
That'll be fun.
Jake's holding his up right now. His jacket, for people that can't see, that sounded, you know.
His jacket is off.
Hey, Jake's holding jacket this up right now, right?
He's just holding it up.
Jacket on.
Yeah, see, jacket on.
Right. Now the
jacket off.
There he is.
Hey.
Yeah,
there you
so
go. That's good for everyone.
Should be a great game. There are tickets available at 888-4KC-GOAL and sportingkc.com. And hopefully we'll see you there. I'm very excited. Very excited to see this version of Sporting Kansas City with some new faces. See how these guys acclimate. You know, the league just keeps growing and spending more and more money, which has allowed teams like Sporting to go out there and sign players like Felipe Gutierrez, who was a regular on the Chilean national team, which means he's a world class player, and he's going to help the team out. So I'm very excited.
Jake, are you excited?
Pumped. There's a lot of new faces. I think there's a lot of potential with this team.
Give me the new face from each of you that you're most excited about.
You got to go with the namesake, right? The gentleman that Nate just mentioned.
Are you related? Did we find out?
Yeah, he's my cousin once removed.
Wow.
Wow.
From Chile.
Why did you remove him?
I think he removed me.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
He's like Uncle Rhonda. We're somehow related.
Yeah. I think I actually agree with Jake a little bit on this one because...
That's no fun.
Well...
The age and the quality of player that Sporting is getting is, I can't remember the last time that they've had this kind of potential in a player.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, that the way the league is growing and evolving, it used to be that these designated players, the star players that would come over here from other countries, they called it the retirement league.
Like Claudio Lopez, that type of, a player that's...
Even David Beckham at the time.
Right.
Like, he's past his prime, he's coming here for the twilight of his career. And there are still some players to do that, but almost all of the quote-unquote designated players, the big-money signings this offseason across the league have been guys in their 20s, guys in their prime, and Gutierrez is one of those guys. I think he's going to change the way Sporting plays because they had Benny Failhaber in that position, I love Benny Failhaber, one of my favorite guys and one of the best number 10s in American history. But he's 33 years old, and he played more of didn't cover a ton of ground and tried to pick out passes, where Felipe Gutierrez is going to fly all over the field the way Roger Espinoza does. And I think it's going to create just a more frantic, hectic midfield than what it was. I don't know if it'll have that same quality in that little final pass and all that, but I think
Not at first.
Yeah. But because of the frantic pace that they're going to play with, I think they're going to create maybe actually more chances. So I think he's the guy that changes the way they play more than anybody else. But I'm very excited about Johnny Russell as well. And I'm interested to see what Johan Kwoze is going to be like on the right wing. So all three of the guys have me very excited.
And so for people that are interested in going out of the game, obviously tickets are still available. But if you can't get out there, or do you encourage people to listen to your call while they're in the seats?
Well, sure, bring your headphones, do that, whatever. If you're in the concourse, you'll probably hear it.
You can tune in to pregame, 6 o'clock, Sporting KC and New York. We'll get it on at 6:30 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll talk to Buster Olney coming up at 7 o'clock. Get some spring training news. See if he's heard anything about Mike Moustakas. Where is Moustaka going to sign? Danny Klingscale with more baseball at 7:30. And then we'll have our Border Patrol Fast Break with Gabe DeArmond and Stan Weber and Jesse Newell talking to Mizzou, K-State, and KU at 8:05. Mike McFarland will be back on the show for another season of Talking Royals Baseball. Mac will be with us at 8:30. And then Tony Miola at 9:05. He's also in town for Sporting Kansas City. Nate Bucati.
He's doing the national television call. I think he's, hopefully when we talk to him, I think he's going to be on his way to the airport in New York City to fly out here. As the games will be nationally televised on Fox Sports 1. But, of course, we want you to listen to Sports Radio 810 WHB as well to the game. So, and final whistle with your man Dave Borchardt afterwards. But, yeah, Tony.
My man.
Tony's a good man. You know him extremely well. You guys did a show together.
Yes.
And
with Marcus Spears, Out of Bounds.
Oh, boy.
On Wednesday nights, on WHB.
That was a heck of a threesome right there.
Seemed like that show originated from Nick and Jake's a lot.
Yes. It was at Nick and Jake's quite a few times.
Yeah.
That is correct.
I recall that. Yeah. I don't know why.
Did you were there a couple of times?
I was back here a lot of times too. Yeah. I mean, that was early in my young career.
It was a different kind of show. We had fun though.
Yeah, I remember.
It was good times.
Yeah, I engineered that show many of times, and had to go to break a couple times.
Yeah,
go to break. Back after this. I'm like, whoa, hold on. Yeah.
Things get out of hand real quick with those two. It was usually Marcus.
Yeah.
Tony used to instigate and stir the pot, so we'll talk to him at 9:05. That should be good. And maybe we'll hear some comments from Brett Veach, as it was Brett Veach's day to speak at the NFL Combine. And boy, he did not hold back his praise of Patrick Mahomes II. If they're trying to settle expectations down, he did not do a very good job of that yesterday. I'm like reading all these damn quotes and listening, and obviously listening's different. But when the quotes first started to come out, I'm like, "Ooh, what did he just say? What was that?" I don't know if you saw any of my emojis I was sending out with that yesterday, but I was very excited, obviously. But no. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you could get me more excited to see Patrick Mahomes II play this year. But I mean, he pretty good job from Brett Veach. Thank you. That's pretty damn good. Talk about how he's wowed them in practice. One of the best players he's seen, as far as the prospect and everything else. I mean, what do you want me to do?
No.
I mean, I don't need to be pumped up by Brett Veach, but he did a good job yesterday. What? I'm setting myself up, ain't I? Am I already losing it now?
No. Might as well get excited.
I need a break. Back after this on WHB. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Buster Olney from ESPN, our baseball insider. Get a spring training update from Buster, then do the same thing with Danny Klinkscale live from Surprise, Arizona. Coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.